Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Marvel with Love. I'm so excited about today. Thank you for being here today and sharing with me on this great day. It is Fabulous Friday, y'all. So I like to start out by saying, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it. Come rain or shine, it is a beautiful day, and that it is. If you live in this area, Texas, north central Texas, we've had a lot of rain. It's been like, oh my God. First, I thought it was going to be 40 days and 40 nights. Looks like today is kind of cloudy, but the sun did come out some. So, and hopefully we will have a great weekend. In the forecast, there's no rain for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. We may get some on Monday, but listen, we're just glad to be here. We're just glad to be here and be a part of this. This is Memorial Day weekend, and what an exciting weekend it is. The first one since last year's Memorial was pretty COVID had everybody on lockdown in May of last year. And this year, here in the state of Texas, the state is open 100% now. So people are getting out. There has been several surveys, and if you run across one, especially with the Black Chamber, Dallas Chamber of Commerce, they're doing a survey about, are you ready to get out? Are you ready to take off your mask and get out and get back to some normalcy about your life and what you do? Take that survey, and it's on the website of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. And so check that out. But, you know, today I have a great guest today. She is from Garland, Texas, and she is an elementary school chief teacher, chief of the yearbook. And so she has doing some really great things with the kids, because, you know, last year was really bad as far as, you know, the things that the kids that were graduating at the end of the school year from elementary all the way through college didn't get to do and enjoy that year like normal, like that you would normal, like we did, you know. So she is doing a yearbook, and it's not just school activities, what the kids are doing, but it's actually an interactive yearbook with some different kind of pictures showing how they learned this year in schoolrooms with plexiglass separating them, with teachers doing viral on the board, virtual on the board teaching, and even in the classroom. So anyway, we're going to talk to her. Her name is Kevin Diaz, and we will be talking to her in just a little bit. She'll be on. But let's get to, you know, something that's happening right now. Well, first of all, Texas Metro News hit the streets yesterday. And so you see, there we are in the middle of a voting season. And so we are in runoff season right now for Dallas County and Tarrant County and Collin County and around. There are several runoff races in Fort Worth for mayor. There is a runoff with Deborah Peoples, and she would become, if she wins this runoff, she would become the first Black mayor in Fort Worth history and female. So if you have not voted, you still have time for some early voting. And the voting day is June the 5th. So that is next Friday, June the 5th. So a week from today. So so early voting goes through June 1st, which is through Monday. And the polls will be closed on Monday. Monday is the 31st, but the polls are closed on June 1st, which is Tuesday. So, but you can definitely go to our website at polls on the holiday, which is the 31st, which is that Monday. It is closed. And June 5th is on a Saturday. So thank you for my producer helping me out, my illustrious boss, Ms. Cheryl Smith. But anyway, don't let this go by, because usually that's what happens. When it comes to a runoff, people don't get all excited about going back and voting again for the runoff, but that is really, really important, and it's really important that you do that. So wherever you are in your city, your county, make it to the polls and vote. Please make it to the polls and vote, because Texas can turn blue if enough people get out and vote. And so, and the city council seats are really heating up in Dallas. There are several runoff races in Dallas for city council. So just be aware of that and know that your vote does count. It really does. It does count. So now, in the paper this week, we have several really good stories. Eva Coleman, she is our Lifestyles and Culture editor. She wrote an article about Angelina Pelham, who's running for city council in Frisco. And so she writes about her, and that's a really good article about her, and that would be really good for her to win that seat at City Council Frisco. That would be the first Black woman to be on the City Council there. Now, In the Hood, Call Him Brother. This is a wonderful story. Meet the Nation of Islam student minister, Al-Sheed Muhammad. And then My Truth by Cheryl Smith. Next Zoom meeting, look at your Zoom screen, you know. These Zoom meetings, they are something else. And then we celebrated this week, or there was celebration this week. And there's still some activities going on this week, too, for the anniversary of George Floyd's death, which happened May 25th in 2020. So his family and our hearts just go out to them, because I know that this was hard for them. I know that this was hard, you know, and you know, it stirred a huge movement of Black Lives Matter. But you know what? It didn't stop there. It really didn't. It didn't stop there, because there's still Black people being killed. There has been many deaths since last year, you know. And so, unfortunately, there's still a lot of work for us to do. And still some people in this country, police departments, that just don't care, and they will do that. So yesterday was really kind of exciting. Dallas has chosen a new chief of police, And so there was a reception for him yesterday, and it was downtown at the JBJ Management, and Dallas welcomed Police Chief Eddie Garcia. And Eddie Garcia is from California, from Northern California, where he was a chief for over 30 years, and now he is here. And it was an outstanding standing room only at the offices of JBJ Management. Thursday's businessman, Willis Johnson, hosted a diverse group and included everyone from the Dallas County Commissioner, John Wally Price, NFL Hall of Fame, Drew Pearson, representatives of Congresswoman Eddie Denise Johnson, and Paul Quinn President, Mike Sorrell. They all gathered to welcome Chief Eddie Garcia. And stay tuned, because there's going to be remarks from our chief soon. And it was a nice event. It really was a nice event. Now, we would love for you to get on our email list. Every day, Texas Metro News has a e-blast, and it's our daily newsletter. And if you would like to get it every day right in your inbox, so you can be keep up with the latest of what's happening in our city, just email me at editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. And then you, I will put you on that list. Just put your email on there, and I will put you on that list, and you'll get it every morning. I did talk to you just a little bit. I'm waiting on Gavin to arrive, but I will tell you a little bit about Tevis Diaz. Tevis is Beaver Technology Center in Garland, Texas. She has created 8 yearbooks over the years and has also been in a leadership role with the school's PTA for the last 8 years. Having been a yearbook chief editor in high school, Tevis is passionate about preserving memories for students. She's been using T-Ring, and that's a technology company that offers high-quality yearbooks to create the yearbook at Beaver Technology. And she joined the T-Ring team part-time in January of this year. So we're going to be talking to her about the yearbooks in elementary school. And you know what, y'all? I have to be quite honest with you. I don't remember having a yearbook. But I do remember having one in junior high and in high school. So let's welcome can you hear me, Ms. Tevis?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
There we go.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, it's Tevis.
I can now. Thank you. How are you today?
I'm good. We've got a 4-day weekend, so
Tevis.
Everybody's excited.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Tevis.
Yeah, you got it right the first
time. So how are you?
I'm good. We're excited to have a 4-day weekend because it's been a rough school year.
Okay, so now you are in... So now you are in Garland, Texas at the Beaver Technology School. So tell us a little bit, you guys are still in school. When's the last day for you?
I think I've got a little bit of lag here. But our last day is June 8th. With the pandemic, we switched over to sort of a year-round intercession calendar, which actually gives the kids an opportunity to pull up grades at every grading cycle instead of the end of the year. So we don't get out until June 8th, but but I'm really excited about, you know, the calendar that we do have. It also gives me more time to work on a yearbook.
All right. Yes, yes, and that is the year that school. So what makes your year, tell us about your yearbook and what you're doing with it.
Okay, so I think our lag, I hear you as soon as you stop talking, just so that you know what the timing is, I think. I didn't have an elementary school yearbook either, so I'm with you on that page. When my kids started, it was kind of, but I have made almost all of my kids' yearbooks, like you said, for the last 8 years, and every year, it's just a special, you know, it's a special memory for them, and you had mentioned in my intro that, that I'm using, well, I'm using Tree Ring Yearbooks, which is the company I've been using for the last 5 years. But one of the things that we've been able to do with my kids' yearbooks is create like custom pages. So they get to make the yearbook is really their book. It's their special book. And no matter what, my kids have a record of their teachers, and my kids struggled with speech and language. So maybe like that language professional that he had, he's got her pictures and he's got her, that memory of her in his yearbook, you know, even though they're elementary students, they still have those precious memories too. And I mean, I loved my elementary years, and to be able to go back with, you know, a yearbook like this, to remember all of my friends and teachers. I mean, I would love to have that. I don't even have my old class pictures. You know, I run across them every now and then, but to have a shelf in my home like I have right now with all of the kids' yearbooks on them, I think is a really special thing for them. This year was probably the hardest yearbook I've ever made. Feeling how important it was to capture this year for them just kept me going. Getting pictures was harder than ever. There are schools that never even took portraits this year. You know, like you said, Texas is opening up, but, you know, there's schools around the country that never went back, or California just went back, but they don't have any portraits. So I really had to work collaboratively with the parents this year to get the parents and the teachers. Our teachers were wonderful this year in getting me photos. They have so much on their plate. But to get me, you know, pictures of their classroom and pictures of themselves and help me with the parents. This book, like you said, records so many little nuances of their year where, you know, maybe just a picture of a kid sitting at a desk doing their work isn't that interesting of a picture. But when our kids pick up this book in 20 years from now to show their kids, or even after that to show their grandkids, they're going to look at these pictures with everybody with the masks on and the face shields. And like you said, the plexiglass between the desks, like I just got chills. It's just, it's such a, the everyday pictures that you kind of look past on a regular basis are going to be so striking. And it's, you know, and it's just, it was so important for me to just record what actually happened this year.
You know, that is amazing, because that is, and I think about, just like you said, 10 to 20 years from now, when these kids are older and they want to, they go back and tell their friends and their maybe younger siblings, you know, what they went through in 2020, how they had to do school from home and then do school and they have the plexiglass and wear the mask And so just describing that, so would there be lots of pictures of the kids with masks on and things like that at their desk?
What's so interesting is that pretty much every picture from the school has kids with masks, kids and teachers with masks on and face shields. I think what's so interesting is the blending of the in-person learners. In our district, parents have had the choice since September of sending your child to school or keeping them home. And I think we were about 50 to 60% with remote learners. And so we've got this blend of these kids at school with masks or kids sitting at like a chair at their dining room table or, you know, sitting with their younger toddler siblings doing their schoolwork or working outside. I've got kids, you know, that are doing science experiments in their driveways. And the mix of those pictures, both the in-person and the remote learners, is, I think, what really tells the story about this year. I really wanted to try to balance both worlds that the kids were living. So I included all of the pictures of the teachers, like digital classrooms with like their Bitmojis and stuff. I had every teacher send in their own selfie so that the kids that were remote and getting pictures from mom or grandma or whoever was sending pictures, and I've got pictures that the kids sent in themselves because they didn't get any portraits done. And so I had the teachers send me their own selfies that are kind of raw photos of them so that none of the kids that didn't have those professional portraits would feel left out. Like, it's everybody's, you know, sort of in this together and the teachers are in it with them. So trying to capture everything all in one book was such a challenge, but it was fun and it's amazing and it's my favorite book I've ever made. I'm going to wait for the leg to come across.
Wow. I remember as a kid, I loved my elementary school teachers. So I would go and hug them, you know, and stuff like that. So how difficult was it for you in developing those relationships with those kids during COVID?
So I think that's an interesting question. I have been at the school for 5 years, and I gravitate towards the kids, but a lot of these kids already know me. I usually spend almost the entire day on campus when I was kind of a full-time PTA mom up until the last couple years, but I was always on campus and the kids all know me. And the parents know my name, at least if they don't know my face, you know, just being leadership in PTA. And so to me, my kids have been remote this year and it was a struggle to stay connected with the school. I don't feel like I ever disconnected from the kids. Like, in a lot of, like, these are all my kids, these kids especially that, you know, I've seen grow up from, you know, first and second grade into, you know, fifth and sixth grade. Like, they're all sort of my kids. And if I could connect with their parents to get them in the book, and I haven't distributed the books yet, and I can't wait for the kids to get their eyes on these books and let them see themselves and let them see their year all together in one. One of the things that I've included in this book that I've never done before is I included headlines of kids that were doing amazing things through COVID throughout the year, like inventions for face masks and donations and doing lemonade stands to raise money for nurses. And I've got headlines like that all scattered throughout the book, along with like some silly memes, because the kids are all about, we all love the memes. And so the book has all the memes, I think, that the kids will really connect with too. One of the things in this book, and I think those memes and like the headlines are definitely different for this book. I did, and this is one of my spreads. This is a timeline. So the theme is kind of, you know, like the headphones and the ear pods and the remote learning. I've got a lot of those kind of pictures. But this whole spread is a timeline. It's got all the memes on there, which are fun. And how we handled the pandemic, like the release of the security documents or the safety protocols, or that our superintendent, Dr. Lopez, you know, announced that teachers could wear scrubs to school. Like that's so that hits me when you go back and read that in 10 years from now. You know, there was a point that he asked Governor Abbott to waive the STAR test this year. And we also had a huge bond measure that, you know, that didn't end up, or a tax thing that didn't end up passing this year. And just recording all of those things in the book that are going to have so much impact on our kids, you know, later, and a record of what their year looked like. And those were some of the really important things for me to be able to include in their book this year. Okay, I'm gonna wait for the lag and then respond. I don't have any sound coming across yet.
That is really good. How do you feel the vaccine for children? Are you for it or against it? Did you have your children vaccinated or not?
Okay, she can't hear you. Okay, Tevis, can you hear me?
I'm still waiting on that second comment after. I just got the vaccine comment in my ear.
Okay, can you hear
question?
Me? Okay, can you hear me in real time? Wait a minute. Tevis, can you hear me?
I can hear you live right now. If that's live, yeah.
This is not Marvel.
Yeah.
You were talking about the children, and you were talking about an alternate schedule, if you will. Could you explain?
Mm-hmm.
Could you go into elaborate on that for us?
So when my kids were born, I've been, until I started working with Tree Ring this year, I've been a stay-at-home parent, you know, single-income family since my first one was born. And so being home with the kids, we're going to school. I had a midwife. I'm kind of, you know, into, you know, alternate medicine. But talking to our pediatrician, my first kid didn't get any vaccines until he was four. At that time, I had a two-year-old, and we were starting to go to play dates and stuff. So I started the two-year-old at the same time as the four-year-old instead of, you know, like giving them all their vaccines in the first 6 months of their life. I waited a little bit later in their life as they, you know, as they grew, and I was nursing, so they were getting breast milk, which, you know, is good for them. I struggled with it too. So they ended up with formula and breast milk, but that was the alternative schedule. Like instead of like banging them with vaccines, like in their first like year of life, I was able in our lifestyle to wait. And my first one actually aged out of a lot of them. And then we just did them a little bit slower and separated instead of like putting three needles in my kid at one visit with, so many different medications and not knowing what kind of reaction he gets from each one. We kind of just did them slower and spread out and one at a time. I probably went to the doctor 3 times more than everybody else, you know, between checkups. But that was the alternate vaccine schedule that my kids did. But like I said, my 12-year-old did, he is actually in a vaccine trial, my 12-year-old, but we want to be part of the solution to, you know, the pandemic, and that, you know, my husband and I felt like that was an important step.
You are so right, Tavis, and that is when you look at people that are saying they are going to get the vaccine, and you have some, you know, you would venture to guess that everyone does not know about Tuskegee experiments or anything, but all they have to do is hear Tuskegee one time, and Tuskegee is probably trended. So, like, crazy. And so people are apprehensive about
What will the school year look like the 21-22 school year look like?
Computer.
Yeah. Okay. So the question, what does the 21-22 school year look like for GISD? They've officially said that we are going back in person. We don't know if we're going to have masks or not. I guess we're not. If that's going to be by choice, since Abbott said that school districts can't require masks. So I guess that answers that question. I like to think things are going to be, you know, back to some level of normal. I pulled my kids out for a week when the flu was really bad 2 years ago. I had a newborn, and I, you know, wasn't going to risk it with the nasty flu that went around 2 years ago. So I think, you know, we all need to just be diligent with our hand washing and cleanliness, and, you know, even wearing masks when we're sick, you know, kind of like let's be okay with culture to protect ourselves and each other, you know, from a massive even flu outbreak. You know, we don't want people dying from flu either. So I think the school year, I'm hoping the school year is going to, you know, look, I've got 2 kids going into, you know, middle school, and I hope that they will get a traditional middle school experience next year. And right now, GISD is on the path for that traditional school year experience for them.
Well, Dallas Community Colleges, they're opening up for their summer semesters, and students will not be required to wear their masks. We're trying to get Marva back. I've asked her to read the chat, and if she would read it, it would help her get over here as quickly as possible. We have Tevis Diaz, Beaver Tech, and doing something I think that parents and students will appreciate her for, in hindsight, when they have those memories that you're giving these students. Because I'm sure you've had this thing that this hasn't been, COVID hasn't done much for the morale of students or teachers.
No, these poor teachers. I'm friends with a lot of the teachers. So Marva had mentioned I was a teacher. I'm a parent, but I've been very involved with the school and the district for all these years. And a lot of the teachers are my friends. And what happened this year was not okay. You know, we all had to keep moving forward. But it was, I'm sure it was the hardest year for all of our lives. And so, you know, kind of circling back to the whole yearbook thing, like, I know it was hard. I know it's a hard year. There's so many people that want to kind of forget that it happened, or that just wanted it to be over. And I don't want to give up a year of my life, you know, like the moments that I had with my kids in the house this year, those are all precious moments, even, you know, in the struggles and, you know, in remote schools and everything. And I think we need to be able to have that record to look and remember what we overcame. Like,
yes.
Wow, this is what was happening. And we, you know, we got through it, and we got through it together. And, you know, as much as we've I guess, you know, struggled with some of the political divisiveness. No matter what, we're still doing this together, whether we like it or not, whether we're fighting through it or, you know, working together, like we're. Everybody can share the paddles and share the work to get us through. But I wanted to make sure that these kids had had something, even something, you know, tangible that they can hold on to look through. My kid loves his book. Like I said at the beginning, too, with our company, our yearbook company, the kids get free custom pages. And so I put my kids' remote school schedule, and we actually had to leave our house when it closed because we lost power. We were out of power for like 3 days. And like I said, I've got the baby. So we couldn't stay at home when Texas lost power. So like we've got that history and that record of his life and his yearbook too. And I've been doing this for so many years. It obviously is meaningful to me. I'm doing it for free. I'm a volunteer. I've volunteered for every single one of these books, and it's hundreds of hours. These books take hundreds of hours to put together. And I do it for my kids, and I do it for, you know, all, there's 575 kids in this school. I sold 20 staff yearbooks to, you know, these teachers, you know, want a record of their year as well. So really, really proud of myself for being able to pull it together.
Well, I think it sounds like you have done a fantastic job. Now, I have one more question for you. Now, I heard what you said, how you feel about everything. And you are with the PTA. So what is the PTA's position on schooling and vaccine and for the kids?
I don't know, Cooper, off the top of my head, but knowing PTA, I'm trying to think if I saw anything come across. The big fight for PTA right now has been STAR and vaping. Those are the big top things on their list right now, is trying to get legislation across for funding the educational system, getting this money into the district's hands, keeping vaping out of kids' hands, fixing the STAR test and quit doing these high-stake testing for kids. That's some of the top priorities for PTA right now. I haven't seen anything come across about vaccines. I think that one's such a sensitive subject for so many people, and it depends on your family and what your immune system is. So as far as PTA and vaccines, so like I said, we're a national organization, so the national organization has official positions on things. And then Texas State PTA has official resolutions on different issues. And so our local PTA, or like our district GISD Council PTAs, and just even, you know, Beaver Tech PTA, we would follow the Texas resolution guidelines, which I haven't looked up specifically about vaccines. But like I said, the legislative priorities that have come across that I've noted, like we try to do, you know, actions in Austin and in Washington, to ensure that these kids are not penalized for the year that they had no control over, in testing and in financing. And then also the vaping is big on the list right now.
Wow. I mean, and yeah, I'm concerned about the vaping as well. Now, I heard you say about the STAR test. So what is the biggest issue with the STAR test now?
So for those that aren't super familiar with the issue, the easiest way to say it is that the almost just the way the test is written, the actual literal words and questions on the test are written almost above grade level. So if you've got kids that haven't been diagnosed with dyslexia yet, or kids that are just maybe reading's not their favorite subject, or they're haven't had the support to really get a grasp on their reading skills, whatever it may be, if the test itself is kind of written above grade level, so how do you and then it has nothing to do with what they actually know or don't know. And then, these poor kids are sitting for almost 4 hours straight in a silent classroom. It's not a conducive environment to actually gauge what a child knows. And then they take these tests and they try to hold kids back, in fifth grade or eighth grade. They're technically not tests, they're assessments. Parents do have rights if they wanted to look into not taking the STAR test. It is technically an option. You'll have to fight your district for it, but it is an option. And then they take these tests and they take these scores, and then they judge these teachers and these school districts and the schools on this one high stakes test. If you were judged on the one thing you did on one day, God forbid you had a bad night's sleep because you were so stressed out about it, or you didn't have breakfast because maybe your parents don't have anything in the kitchen today. And then you have to go and take this test, and everything that you've ever learned, anything your teacher has taught you, anything your school has done for you, all comes down to that 4 hours. And so I said it was going to be short.
I appreciate that, because you were so right. I see your passion and I feel your passion, because I felt the same way with my daughter when she was little and going to school there in Garland. I'm like, I was teacher monitor. I mean, I went up there and while she was in elementary school. So I do understand that, and I agree with you. I really do. I totally agree with you.
I think there's a lot of parents that need to realize what's going on so that they can stand up and advocate for their kids too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They do need to know what's going on. And you know what? That PTA, it's worth it. It's worth it for your child, because it's an advocate for your child. And then you're not standing alone, because you got a whole bunch of other mothers who are standing with you.
That is exactly what PTA is, and I'm going to plug PTA at this point since it came up, that your membership to PTA at any school, for anybody that, watches your show, if you sign up as a member, it doesn't mean you have to volunteer. What that does is those membership numbers allow the state PTA, and even our local PTA it allows our state PTA to go to Austin and say, look, 700,000 parents in the state of Texas feel that, STAR testing needs to be improved, or, we actually testify on behalf of the kids in Austin and all of the state capitals and Washington to change legislation to better the future so that every kid. For their whole elementary school year. I was really glad to be able to have this company on my side for this year of all years too, because this was such an anomaly, such a crazy year. I didn't have to stress about it because our yearbook company is really here for us as PTA for the schools and for the kids.
That is great.
Shameless plug.
No. You're good. Okay, so how can people reach you at your school, or reach them for their school? Reach
Tree Ring, or
Tree Ring.
Just my personal expertise on everything.
Yes.
I can be reached at Tevis, which my name right there on the screen, Tevis at treering.com.
Okay.
So you can just check out Tree Ring at treering.com too. But if you wanted, you know, touch base with me personally, with all of my expertise in PTA and vaccinations and whatever else we talk about today.
We talked about, I mean, I really appreciate this conversation today. I really do. And when you spoke about vaccines in an alternative schedule, I thought that was really interesting. I really did. I thought that was really interesting. And so, oh my God, Tevis, thank you. Thank you. Can you?
I want to thank you too for everything you do for Texas and for our communities. And I was born and raised in Dallas. I spent 15 years in LA, but I love this town. And I'm so glad to see people that are involved in their communities and care and reaching out. So I'm glad to be here today too.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, I'm gonna extend an invitation for you to come back.
And I know about everything, right?
Yeah, you do. It's great. And maybe we can get some other mothers and stuff to chime in, and we can.
I know lots of people.
Yes. Blessings. Well, enjoy your holiday weekend and your 4 days off before you finish and wrap up your school year. And again, thank you so much for tuning in and joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Whew, thank you. What an awesome young lady she is. I mean, she was really passionate about the children that she, and this yearbook sounds like an awesome company where she can develop these yearbooks. And because I think back and I remember the yearbook. If I wasn't on a sports team, if I wasn't in a club, if I wasn't, student body, then you didn't get, your picture was only there, your regular school picture. And the way that they are doing this with T-Ring is that these kids get to develop and put themselves into that and the things that they're interested in, the things that they do, and things. And honestly, when we look back 10, 20 years from now, COVID-19, and see what it did to our country, did to us as a people, how we grew, how we lost, how we improved. It's gonna be a big blessing, and it is definitely gonna be in our history. So now I'm really excited about this weekend. There's a lot going on this weekend, so let's just move over to the community calendar and just kind of talk about what's actually happening. Tonight, if you are interested in jazz, a perfect night date at All DAC Jazz on Preston Road in North Dallas. It's 8700 Preston Road at the DAC Luxury Daiquiri Lounge. They'll have music and plenty of daiquiris, and you can check that out. Also, on at the Freeman Cafe down on Commerce Street at 2626, there's the For Your Soul Band live tonight at 10 p.m. All DAC Jazz is 7 to 10 p.m. And then if you live in the downtown area, or even if you don't live in that downtown area, the farmers market, they do this, they're doing this every weekend, and they've got all kinds of vendors down there. Food, get your fresh fruits and vegetables and all kinds of things, and that's from 4 to 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, one of the iMessenger Media blog shows
the Connections for Positive Priorities and Common Sense with Ms. Deborah Brown Stearns. And that's going to be live right here on Facebook from 12 to 2 p.m. and also on our Blog Talk Radio show as well. You'll get to enjoy that. And you can call in and ask Ms. Deborah all kinds of questions and join the conversation. And that number is 646-200-0459. Odyssey, the Pan-African Experience Through Black Arts. Now, that event is taking place on Saturday from at 8 p.m. Now, it's hosted by the Bandan Koro African Drum and Dance Ensemble, and it's going to be held at the Annette Strauss Square down at AT&T Performing Arts Plaza downtown, and that's at 2403 Flora Street, and that is from, it starts at 8 p.m., and you can just go to the AT&T pack.org for your tickets for that show, and that is tomorrow night at 8 p.m., all right? Let's see here. Sunday, we want to send out a happy birthday to our team member, Ms. Dorothy J. Gentry. Happy birthday, Dorothy. And on Sunday, you can check out Andrew Wisdom and his show. It's called The World According to Drew. And that's from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And that's on Blog Talk Radio. And that number is 646-200-0459. So now just call in and join his conversations. They have all kinds of things they talk about. It's thought-provoking, it's enlightening, informative, and entertaining news. Callie's. Now, this is being hosted by the Genealogy Adventures and Danya Papoose Williams. And the speaker is going to be Larry Callies. And he's going to talk about a history of African-American cowboys. You know, he has the museum over in Fort Worth. So check it out. It is Zoom. Let's see here. It's online and it's bit.ly/3FRCXT9. But if not, just go to our website, www.texasmetronews.com. That's www.texasmetronews.com. Pull up our community calendar, you'll get it. Or you can actually stop by South Dallas Cafe over here on Camp Wisdom and 67 and get yourself a paper and a nice meal because they have the best food. Also, let's see, let's go to Memorial Day. Do you have plans for Memorial Day? Well, here I have just a few suggestions for you. The Memorial Day celebration and National Monument of Remembrance, that's going to be at the Texas Pool, and that's 901 Springbrook Drive in Plano. And it's at the Texas Pool at 901 Springbrook Drive in Plano. It's from 12 to 2 p.m. And you can get your tickets at www.texaspool.org. Canvas, Dallas Memorial Day Pool Party at the Canvas. Dallas, and that's at 1325 Botham John Boulevard. That's 1325 Botham John Boulevard, and it's from 2 to 7 p.m., and you can get your tickets at eventbrite.com. And also the second annual Sundress and Sunglasses Memorial Day Party at the Woolworth, and that's 1520 Elm Street, Suite 201, that's 1520 Elm Street at Suite 201, and it's from 3 to 8 p.m., and you can RSVP at memorialdayparty21.eventbrite.com, all right? So that's just some things that's happening this Memorial Day weekend. I'm looking forward to it myself. I've got family coming in town, and we're going to just go and do some fun stuff and even go to the zoo on Sunday. So I kind of look forward to that. The weather should be fine. I didn't hear, I think rain maybe Monday, but the weekend, it should be pretty good. So that's good. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to tell you now, I don't own the rights to this song, but we are going to play a little family reunion. Because, you know, that's what we do. We are family, and we have to unite, especially with this being a holiday. Being a holiday. Now, let me see if I can find that song. Maybe it's... you know, this is terrible when you can't find what you need. So I'm just not finding it. Okay. All right. So we're just going to move on. I tell you what we'll do. I got one even better. Let's try A Brighter Day with Kirk Franklin, and I do not own the rights to this song on Facebook, but we're going to take just a quick break, and I'll be right back.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it, you gotta get, come on, fifth one, fourth one, come on, sing it, ah!
I never knew I could be so happy.
think I want to hear some horns.
About some of the things that are just going on in the city and our community calendar. And as I talked about a little bit earlier before our guests came on today, you know, I went downtown to the JB for reception for our newly appointed chief, Garcia, and Eddie Garcia, and he is a born Puerto Rican and from Puerto Rico, and he lived most of his life in California, in the northern part of California, where he was in police law enforcement for over 30 years, and he was also a chief there. And I thought it was really interesting as after he was introduced to us by none other than our Dallas Independent School District superintendent, Hinojosa. Mr. Hinojosa introduced him, and so when he got up to speak, and he was just telling everybody about, you know, his plans for Dallas and how he loved Dallas and everything, and he said that he thought, you know, he was retiring, and so when he was going to retire, he said the only thing he thought he was just going to be, what did he say, school teacher and a coach and a sports coach. And so he said, you know what, if anything happens, if it came available, that was what I wouldn't mind, you know, doing. And then, you know, shortly after that, he heard about the Dallas chief stepping down. And so, you know, it's just funny how things happen. He, you know, wanted that and got it. And so congratulations to him. And he was very pleasant. So enjoyed that. He was not the chief for 30 years. And he's still in his 40s. Okay. So he has been in law enforcement, he said, for 30 years. Now he is the chief of Dallas, so police department. So that's a good thing, because we need to change, we need to grow, we need to work together, the police department and the communities that they serve here in Dallas. And I think that should happen all over the country, actually. I mean, not just here, but all over the country. But we're speaking in Dallas right now. So anyway, it was a really good event. And again, if you would like to be on our email list and get our daily e-blast right in your inbox, all you have to do is email us at editor@texasmetronews.com. And send me that email, and I will put you on our list, and so you can get it every day right in your inbox. All right, so we're going to move on with that. I am looking to, let me just tell you about our superb woman for today. a superb woman for today is Alisa Allen. And I will tell you all about Alisa Allen. All right, Miss Alisa Allen, more today than ever, it seems we need Alisa Allen. She is the founder of Your Presence in Important Etiquette School, is the national president of the National Association of Urban Etiquette Professionals, the nation's largest etiquette association serving urban communities, with almost 30 years of etiquette and protocol experience. Alisa is a certified etiquette instructor who could help all of us. She is a leader and well sought after speaker providing etiquette and protocol training. Alisa is a member of the Carter's House and a team lead in the hospitality ministry, a life member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. She is also an author. She attended Business and Management Center at Texas Women's University. You can review her Instagram page at Alisa School of Etiquette for weekly etiquette tips. Trust and believe you can't go wrong, because home training is not so common these days, and social graces seem to have become a lost cause. Just think, Alisa can help you with etiquette in dining, children, youth, communication, civility, business, attire, imaging, and etiquette for social and media outlets. What have you reached? Have you reached out yet? So check her out at Alisa School of Etiquette for weekly etiquette tips. All right, and congratulations, Alisa Allen. And I was, you know, talking about that now, you know, it has been now a year. Been a year since George Floyd was killed on May the 25th, and so there are a lot of activities throughout the cities across this country, actually, that are going on in his honor, but there's an article that was written by Gromer Jeffers, Jr. He is actually a reporter with the Dallas Morning News, which Texas Metro News has a collaboration with, and we share ideas and stories. And so this article was written by Roman Jeffers Jr. And it's really a good article because it just kind of looks back on, you know, what has happened throughout this year. You know, so check it out at dallasnews.com. Or you can actually check it out on our Facebook, on our Texas Metro News page at www.metronews.com. On June the 12th, the Mark Cuban Heroes Basketball Center presents the second annual He's My Hero, and it's a Father's Day photo shoot. And they are offering professional photos to dads, father figures, and their families. And that's going to be on June the 12th at from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's also going to be on June 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and June 20th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Now, you can, there is a Eventbrite link. You can click on, you can go to Eventbrite to register, because registration is definitely required, and that's Mark Cuban Heroes Basketball Center presents the second annual He's My Hero Father's Day photo shoot. So check that out. Now, are you a golfer? Are You a Golfer? Because calling all golfers, Juneteenth Golf Celebration, June 19th, 2021, the Golf Club of Dallas, which is at in Dallas, it's the Juneteenth Golf Classic. And so you can get information and register for that event. And that is at www.JuneteenthGolfClassic.com. Registration is now open. It is going to be on June the 19th. Let's get vaccinated. Let's do it. Let's not take any more chances with our lives, with other people's lives, our families' lives. Let's just go ahead and get vaccinated. It's easy peasy now. It's not a whole lot of nothing. You just go, Baylor Scott & White is doing COVID vaccine community events throughout the city. You can call 214-820-4865. Just find out where the nearest location is. And you can get registered and shot the same day. So there are several locations. Go to our website at www.texasmetronews.com. That's www.texasmetronews.com. And you can check that out. Because here, let me just tell you where those locations are. 4500 Spring Avenue, that's down, that's the big location downtown, the Baylor Scott location downtown. Let's see here. I thought that there was some locations on this page, but there isn't any locations on there except for 45. Oh, you can also go to the Winer Craft Recreation Center, I think that's that address. All right, but they're open until 5 p.m. It says 4500 Spring Avenue, Dallas. So check that out. That is good to have. DART is doing a survey. If you would like to be a part of this survey, visit DART. Zoom.org, take the survey, provide your input, and that should be it. Find out what they're going to give you for that. All right. And now, I think everybody is talking about no mask. Are you talking about it? Are you wearing masks? I've heard. Like we spoke with an educator today and, about their school district. And when the fall of 2021 to 22 school year, that district, Garland I Independent District, is going to be back full time without masks because the governor says the schools cannot be sued for not having masks. They can't be, nothing for that. So therefore, those kids will be going to school. Nobody will have masks on. And, it is a very personal opinion. And I heard someone say, I didn't read the medical books, but I have to trust the science. And it's a very individual thing, and some people have said, I've got the vaccine and it did me wrong. I was sick for days but I'm better now. And some people, just refuse to get it. We don't know what's in that vaccine we do. The science is not going to harm you. I just think we should wear them, and if you're uncomfortable, it's okay. If you're uncomfortable being around people that you don't know if they've been vaccinated, vaccinated or not, wear your mask. If you are comfortable, then go without your mask. Some signs I've noticed in retailers, signs are changing. It was required, mask required. Those signs now say suggested mask wears, meaning you can come in there with or without it. So the Centers for Disease Control and the Prevention Director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, announced that people who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 can discard the mask and also cease to physically distance. That's for inside or out. So while some businesses and sports teams have celebrated the announcement, many took to social media to say they would not stop wearing their masks. Now, Dallas Mavericks is playing, and I think that this game is coming up Monday, and they are letting people back into the arena. So there's going to be some people in. There's going to be tickets. Tickets are being sold for the playoffs, and so you can get a ticket and go to the arena. So Dallas had been one of the teams that was not, you know, before the playoffs began, was not allowing people into the arena. Now, on June the 2nd, Friendship West Baptist Church is hosting a Sankofa moment. It is the 100th commemoration of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre. So you can join them as the Greenwood District from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the legacy of Black Wall Street. There's going to be panelists. It's going to be hosted by the senior pastor, Dr. Freddie D. Haynes III, and the panelists are going to be Dr. Robert Turner and Nancy St. Jacob. And this is June the 2nd. This is from 7 o'clock p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Central Time. And you can watch it live stream on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Friendship West. But if you want any more information on this event for June 2nd, go to www.friendshipwest.org. That's www.friendshipwest.org. And also in our newsletter, in the paper, I was showing you a little bit earlier here, is in the hood, they call him Brother. That is a story written by our Texas Metro News staff, and it's about Meet the Nation of Islam student minister Al-Sheed Muhammad. And so since its founding in 1930, the Nation of Islam has a rich history of compelling leadership, serving the Black community throughout America. These leaders, or student ministers, as they are referred to in the Nation of Islam, are under the command of an internal leader, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who governs from the Chicago headquarters, which oversees over 120 mosques and study groups. The mosques are based of operations in each city, where their own schools, businesses, and activities dispatched from many notable ministers have been pivotal in various chapters of the Black experience historically. And there's more to this story, so it'd be great to read it. You can go to www. www.texasmetronews.com. All right. And in collaboration again with the Dallas Morning News, we have an article here called New Industrial Activity at Shingle Mountain Must Force Dallas to Fix Its Unjust Zoning Decisions. The Southern Dallas leaders, Frederick D. Haynes and Michael Sorrell, call out failing to protect this vulnerable neighborhood from environmental racism. Oh my God. You definitely have to check out that article. It's written by Sharon Grigsby. For the full article, you can go to Dallas Morning News or Texas Metro News. And congratulations to Jade Davis. She is the class of 2021 graduate from Duncanville High School. Now, cheers. The Cheers Hope Foundation Junior, and he is from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. He has a benefit every year, and last year he was not able to have his 5K run and fun walk, but this year is his third annual walk. It's on June the 5th, and it's going to be over at the Margaret Hunt Bridge. So if you want to know any more about that, go to www.cureshope.org. You know, join that call because it's for sickle cell. Let me tell you, that ain't no joke, right? Now, our spotlight for today. First of all, did y'all know today was National Hamburger Day? Okay? So for those of you who love hamburgers, I want to know what do you think is your best hamburger? So I was talking to someone the other day, telling them about it being today National Hamburger Day. So when I ate beef, one of the best, and I don't eat it now, but one of the best hamburgers was at a restaurant in North Dallas, right off Greenville Avenue in Forest Lane, called JG's Old Fashioned Hamburgers. Oh my God, best of burgers. But they also do a turkey burger that is delicious. I don't know. But anyway, I was thinking about it's National Hamburger Month. So find the best hamburger, preferably by a Black-owned restaurant. We like to salute and our Black-owned restaurants in town, and and then that's right, y'all. I heard that theirs were the best too. Black Jack Pizza. That's right there in sunny South Dallas on Martin Luther King, and they sell one of the best hamburgers as well. So I encourage you to go out to a Black-owned restaurant. Get yourself a hamburger today for dinner. No cooking tonight. Just get you a burger. Anyway, for our spotlight for today, it's an event. It is the Toast of the Movement. It is celebrating the art of the movement. And it's George Floyd's week. So I was telling you about that have been going on throughout the cities across this country. This will be held at the African American Museum of Dallas at 3536 Grand Avenue, Dallas, Texas. And that is tonight at 7 p.m., George Floyd Week, Toast for the Movement, event by Next Generation Action Network welcomes artists to join us at the African American Museum from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, May the 28th at the African American Museum at 3536 Grand Avenue, cocktail attire. And you can RSVP at bit.ly/3W capital D, Q-N-J-C. And that's where you would go and get your RSVP for that event tonight. It starts at 7 p.m. We know that there's an election, runoff election coming up on June the 5th. So you want to make sure that you get out and get voted. This early voting is still going on right now. And so go and vote. Go and vote. And there's some really critical races going on, especially the Fort Worth mayor's race is tight. And so check that out. There is a job fair hiring. If you want to work at some local restaurants in town, the Star Sessions is having a job fair. And they are grand opening at DFW Airport Terminal D, Extension Food, Beverage, and Retail locations. And so you can apply, but you can go to their site at stars.cons.com and apply. That should be good. And the Zim Sculpt exhibit is still going on and is here until August the 8th at the Dallas Arboretum on Garland Road. It's a lovely, lovely exhibit. Check it out. Juneteenth celebration. Yes. Juneteenth celebration. The Elite News and the Blair Foundation invites the public to participate in it. In and attend the Dallas, Texas inaugural Juneteenth celebration, march, and festival. This event includes a 3.5-mile parade, march, and festival. The parade march starts at the William Blair Jr. Park and ends inside a fair park. The festival takes place inside the fair park. Celebrate the emancipation and anniversary of enslaved Black people in Texas. It is at this period in American history that we seek unification and inclusive of all mankind. Inclusiveness of all mankind. Is it your birthday? We want to say happy birthday to you. We want to say happy birthday. Today, Michael Orr, happy birthday. Ruth Davis, Rael Williams, Gladys Knight, Walter Tucker, Lizzie Black, Kander, Betty Shabazz, Bishop Veshi, Murphy McKenzie, Vashti, Chafita, Shavers, Cortez, Mr. Diverse, Janice McHenry Dunn, William Walker, Felix Valley, Tamika O. Yelder. Happy birthday, everyone, and hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. And our Black moment in history, you know, I look for these things and I try to find some things that I feel like is pretty awesome. Well, back in May 28th in 2014, we lost Maya Angelou. Her original name is Margaret Henry Johnson. She was born April 4th, 1928, St. Louis, Missouri. She died on the 28th of 2014 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She's an American poet, memoirist, and actress whose several volumes of autobiographies explore the themes of economic, racial, and sexual oppression. I love Maya Angelou. Well, happy rest in peace. That is your Black History Moment. All right. So it is 42 minutes after the hour and 18 minutes before the top of the hour. So we are just going to move along here and just see what else we can talk about. But I want to talk about what you want to talk about. So give me a call at 646-200-0459, or you can call me at tune into our Texas Nuts and Loose Facebook page and just check us out. Because there is, we don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything from you. And tell me, where is your favorite place, Black-owned, preferably restaurant, for hamburgers, for the best hamburgers? Yes, and Black Jack Pizza. You have to go to Black Jack Pizza. You just have to go. You have to check it out. Let's see here. Miss Dorothy is the owner, and her pizzas are, her hamburgers are delicious. Her pizzas are delicious because I just had one of those. So stop by Black Jack Pizza and get one of the best burgers in town. Grab a tea too. Oh, the tea is like the bomb. The tea is the bomb. And you'll be glad that you did. And now I'll tell you where it is. Black Jack Pizza, she's got two locations. One of them is on Martin Luther King, and that's 2536 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. All right, 51025. That's 214-565-1025. And she also has one in Pleasant Grove at 2120 North St. Augustine Drive. That's 2120 North St. Augustine Drive in Pleasant Grove. The number is 972-329-1414. That's 972-329-1414. All right. All right. Now, out our papers, biweekly is Garland Journal, and it comes out on Thursdays. And so next week we'll have a Garland Journal. And this week, we have Texas Metro every Thursday. And this week and Fridays, we have our iMessenger, which is an online magazine. And so you can check it out at myimessenger.com. That's myimessenger.com. And Texas Metro News is www.texasmetronews.com. Garland Journal is www.garlandjournal.com. Find out what's happening in your neck of the woods. Find out the latest in commentary, news, and entertainment. And just, if it's in the Black community, then you can believe that Texas Metro News is there. We know what's going on. We know what's happening, and which is a cool thing, right? Which is a really, really cool thing. All right, so we're going to play. I had looked for something that I couldn't find, but that's okay. So we're just going to play a little something else. Let's see here. There we go. Remember I was telling you about family reunion? Let's play a little family reunion. And I don't own the rights to this song, but we're going to play it, and I'll be right back. I'm I just wanted to play a few minutes of that. I took a little break. But I want to finish up today with just a couple of thoughts in mind. You know, we are all, fortunately, there are some things that are going on in a lot of people's lives that they had no control over, you know. And then when we look back on where we've been with this year of COVID year and a half now, almost, you know, with COVID, there is some light at the end of the tunnel. I do feel like that we are going to get better as a country. We are going to get healthier, and we are going to get back to some normalcy in our lives. And I just want to share this with you. The Word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of then all understanding. You will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So let's be mindful that God will take care of anything that we ask him to. And just remember that he is God all by himself. And that as bad as it's been, there is brighter days ahead. You know, that's why I played that song earlier. And yes, we're going to get to have a family reunion. We're going to get to see some people that we hadn't seen in over a year and a half. We're going to get to go some places that it's been a year and a half since we've gone. This Memorial Day weekend is going to be one of the busiest traveled holidays that we have had in the last year and a half. And TSA is saying get there early, expect long lines. It is quite a bit that is going on. And so people are getting out there. Some people are deciding not to fly and they're just going to drive and take those trips, those road trips, and drive their car. So you see us getting our lives back on track, going and doing some things and seeing some people that we hadn't seen, and so, which is a good thing. So if you are in Dallas, there's a lot going on. And like I said earlier, check out our website and our community calendar. It has a lot of virtual and live events in there that you can check out if you don't know what to do this weekend. And then also check out our shows. We want to share those shows with you this week. On Tuesdays, we have Dr. Shep, Dr. Felicia Shepherd with the Doc Shep Show. And that airs on her Facebook page and YouTube page, and it's at 11 a.m., so check her out. And we have Jaira Nicole, the Jaira Nicole Show, and it airs at 11:30, from 11:30 to 1:30 on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Radio. And you can call in and join her conversation at 646-200-0459. Then we have Miss on Wednesdays, we have Miss Norma Adams Wade. And Miss Norma Adams Wade show is I Was Just Thinking. And it is a history lesson. It is an enjoyable history lesson about Black Dallas and about Black history, period. Miss Norma Adams is a veteran journalist, and she writes for Texas Metro News, and she retired from Dallas Morning News. Well, you can join her on Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here live on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio. On Blog Talk Radio, you can join her at, my mouth is dry, you can join her at 646-200-0459 to ask questions, and she has the answers. And then on we have Dr. Linda Emerson has asked Dr. Linda on Facebook on DFWI Radio, and she's on at 12 o'clock. So Thursdays is Cheryl's Surprise, and Fridays we have me for Marvel with Love, and then on Saturdays we have Deborah Brownstern, and she is doing a wonderful job. Her show is called The Connections for Positive Priorities and Common Sense. And she's from 12 to 2. So you can get that at 12 to 2. And then we have on Sundays, The World According to Drew with Andrew Wiggum III. And he is on Blog Talk Radio from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. 646-200-0459. And I just want to say thank you for joining me today. I thank my guest today, Diaz, and she is from the Garland, and she has a yearbook, and it was so awesome to hear her story. All right, so thank you so much. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in to For Marvel with Love. Join me next week for another exciting show. Take it easy, and we're going to just go out with a little bit of this family reunion.
The next time we see each other, maybe here.